Hey there, and welcome back. I'm Dr. Vince Leone, executive producer and co-host of the Practice Builders Podcast. With my partner in crime, Dr. Kyle Pankinen, we deliver proven strategies to help you grow fast, specialize with confidence, and build profitable staff-run practices. Let's go ahead and dive into today's episode now. Hello and welcome everybody to the Practice Builders Podcast. My name is Dr. Vince Leone.
And my name is Dr. Kyle Pankinen, and we are super excited. We have a special guest on today that I think you're going to enjoy listening to, and that's going to bring a wealth of knowledge. So Dr. Leone, introduce our guest for us.
Yeah, Dr. Tony DeCesaro from Pittsburgh. How are you, sir?
I am well, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. And so our title of this podcast is The Shockwave Sprint Fast-Tracking Pain Relief with Dr. Tony DeCesaro. And, you know, I call him Dr. T, but Dr. DeCesaro has, I would consider him an OG in the shockwave space. So let's just start there. Just give us a little bit of background. How did you get, I know you've been practicing for a long time. You have two successful clinics. But tell us a little bit about how you got into shockwave. What was the first inkling that you found, oh, this is something I really want to specialize in? Just give us a little deep dive there, Doc.
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. I've been practicing for 30 years, and we were thinking of doing, and I have for a short period of time, I had a medical doctor and a nurse practitioner in my practice. They're still on my board. I still consult with them, and we still have a great time working together, although on a much, not as much of a basis as we used to in the past. And it's mainly because of shockwave, to be honest. We were looking at getting into the regen medicine space as far as stem cell injectables and those types of things. And the more I looked into it, I was really excited about it all in the beginning, you know, and this was five or six, maybe a little bit more long or longer ago, years ago. But I found shockwave at that point. And when I looked into it, and I have buddies who do all the injectables, and, you know, they say it's great, but, you know, I was just not ready to do that in my practice, because when I looked at the pros and cons of it, and a lot of people get great results with stem cell. I think it's a great modality, or not a modality, but a great treatment. But I just wasn't sold totally on the costs of it and all the things that went into having and being able to have that type of practice. Yeah. So I found shockwave in the midst of doing all this, and I really kind of turned my head toward the shockwave, because it seemed like a much better option in the regenerative space. So I did. I went that way, and I can say that it was by far for me the best thing that I've ever done in my practice. Incredible results. We've never not had a positive result with a shockwave patient.
Really?
I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. We may not have gotten as far as I would like to have gotten, and as I got better with my efficacy ratings and understanding what can come of this, how far can we take this patient based upon where they're starting and the technologies that are used. We've never not had anyone, there's never been a person that hasn't gotten better. And I don't know of anything else in any space that I can say that with. So that's kind of how I got into it. Just kind of went from there.
Dr. T, would you quantify that in the sense when you say you've never had anybody get better? Are you talking in the sense that?
Not get better. Anybody not get better.
Anybody, in other words, they all, what you're saying is they all
got better.
Some degree of improvement.
Correct.
Not necessarily 100% is what you're saying, but at least they showed some progress or improvement.
Correct. Condition. And it's significant progress. I mean, it's worth the time, energy, and expense that they the currency that they bring to the office and spend in my offices. So let's put it, I got a lot better at getting what I call, and this is the stuff that we teach, right, is the efficacy rating. So if you're giving an efficacy rating for someone who comes in, it's their age. How bad are they as far as, say a knee? I love knees. Knees are phenomenal. They respond incredibly quickly and have lasting effect. So say you have an 80-year-old with a knee who's they're bone on bone, 8, 9, 10 in pain. You're never getting them to a zero. They're more than likely a surgical, they're ready for surgery, right? But they don't want surgery. Now, we have bone on bone knees that have not gotten surgery and they are at a 1-2 daily. You know, you're more than likely not going to get them to a zero in pain, and no 80-year-old's jumping a high jump anyway. So, right, it just depends on where we are and what they want and how what you think you can provide. But in the beginning, I think practitioners do themselves a disservice when they say, you know, well, we can fix that knee. They're 85 and the knee's shot, right? Can we help? Yes, significantly, usually more than 50%, but we're never getting them to 100%. And most people with a joint that's deranged and damaged, you're not getting them to 100. Now, someone in their 40s who's a two to five, six in pain every day, more than likely you can get them back in the game. And that's really what they want, right? So the efficacy rating, excuse me, is built upon all those factors: age, condition, right? What people expect, their expectations. And then when you get that, then you can, when you figure that out, and the patient can agree to it. So if you have a patient that says, you know, if I, and it happens all the time, if I say, you know, I think we can get you 75% better, then I'll hang my hat on that one. Or 80% or 90%, you know, but there's a lot of people I tell there's 50%. I can get you 50%. And when you're 80 and don't want a knee replacement or a shoulder replacement, that 50 is, that's enough. You know, that's enough. And usually if I say 50, I'm looking at 60. And if I think 70, I'm looking at 80, right? So, yeah, that's what I mean by that. And it's dead on the money most times.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, having a, you know, it's kind of like our protocols, you know, at SP, right? Having a really clear outcome target and having a structured approach to pre-frame the patient of what success looks like. Because if you don't do that and you say that you can help them, they typically think, well, I'm going to be pain-free. And I know in, you know, treating neuropathy, I a lot of times use the 50%. Because if they're 75 years old and their pain is an eight, it's like, hey, can I get, if I can get you to a four, is that a successful outcome in your mind? Because otherwise they're going to think, you know, well, I'm going to be pain free. Well, maybe not, but going from an eight to a four is potentially life changing, right? So, what unit? Well, give us a brief, very brief history, Shockwave. I know it's been around for a long time, right? Lithotripsy back to treat kidney stones, right? Isn't that where it kind of originated from?
It's 30, 40 years. Yeah, it's 30, 40 years back, and these machines we use today are measured in millijoules, where the lithotripsy machines are measured in joules. So for the everyone out there that's afraid to take the jump because these machines are dangerous, they're really not dangerous. I mean, there's clearly contraindications and things you shouldn't be doing with them, but the power levels are so low, it's unlikely that you're going to hurt someone with the device if you're using it to, you know, the way it's intended and the manufacturer specifications and those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What? So let's talk about the different units out there. There's a ton, right? And a full range of them too. I mean, there's,
Yeah.
you know, you obviously have the high end ones that are, you know, 60, 70 grand, and then there's some that you're seeing for like 3, 5 grand. I mean, that makes me a little nervous. But like, talk to us a little bit, like the units that you started out with, the units that you like, and just kind of go into
Yeah,
that a little bit.
sure. Happy to do so. You know, there's different types of machines. So there's radio machines, there's hydroacoustic machines, hydroelectronic acoustic, and there's electronic acoustic machines. So being they're all sound waves and all shockwave machines, you're going to get the acoustic moniker in there for each one of them, right? The radial devices are the ones you're seeing for between 2,000 and sometimes 20,000. Those machines are much less effective. They're not really true shockwave machines. They're more of a pulse wave machine. 90% of the energy you're trying to get to the target tissue to cause biological effect is lost at the surface. So if you're trying to treat anything, right? Because it just doesn't, it's not a true shockwave, so it doesn't pass through tissue the way a true shockwave would. A true shockwave is would be the in the machines that I like the best, and we can get results with all of them. I wouldn't use a radial device because I don't think I you just can't get the results you're looking for with that. But the machines that I like the best are the and the first one I had was a soft wave machine. The soft wave machine is a great machine, and all three of these machines I'm about to speak about are excellent machines. The soft wave machine, was the first one I had. The StemWave machine is the second ones I had, and I've used the OmniWave machines as well now. And those three are probably the best, not probably, I think in my opinion, are the best ones out there for getting the best results, the best, like I said, the best outcomes, the ease of use. They are consistent, but they're expensive. So that's the downfall of that. It's not a downfall, it's just it is what it is. You
It
pay
is what
for
it
the
is,
best
yeah.
stuff, in my opinion. The other ones are the electromagnetic machines. And they're not true shockwave machines either, although they would argue to the death that they are. Those machines use pulses of energy so that when it's tough to explain. If you have a pulse that meets here, so you have a pulse, and they meet together, they increase. It's kind of like sine waves, right? Sine waves in phase will double the height. If they're out of phase, they're like noise canceling headphones, they'll cancel it out. So when they take these pulses and they meet at a focal point, they increase the power at that focal zone. So the focal zone is where we want to be treating with those machines, which is why things like the piezo wave, again, nice machines. We can get good results with them. You have to have the different blocks and the differences between the length of that block that the power tends to go through has to meet. You have to pair that up with what you're trying to treat. Whereas the other machines, it's not as important. Okay.
Got it.
And now there's a bunch of new ones jumping into the game now. There's pulse wave and hydro wave and this wave and that wave, and everybody's wave is out there now, and some of them are much less money. The ones in those in that kind of area from the beginning were the Storz Duolith. The Chattanooga machine is a white label Duolith, so that was a really a great, Storz is a wonderful company, great company. They've been in shockwave for decades, but they also have some radio devices, and those are the lower level ones. And I know guys who get really good results with it, but as far as getting, trying to get to a hip something deeper, time is a factor with those. It takes a lot more time and many more pulses to be able to get any type of result whatsoever. So, I know guys that are good with all of them. I just prefer the true shockwave machines.
So with that being said, and so there's a do doctors listening to this that don't have a unit yet. They're thinking about getting one. What are some of the best practices, in terms of, okay, we're gonna install this into the practice. What have you seen with your clients that the best doctors are doing to get, the best results and ramping up revenue?
One of the reasons that I started this, the consulting portion of what I'm doing now, with my trainers, is that they're not training. They're treating this like an ultrasound machine. They're treating it like an eSTIM machine. They're taking the girl who got at the front desk and saying, go hit them with X amount of waves in this area, and just, they're not treating it as a lane of service, and there's no expertise to it. So if you really want to be great at this and make this a lane of service that can challenge some of the other lanes of services in your practices, if not blow right past them, you need training. They need training, and being able to train with the gentleman that sells you or a woman that sells you the device is not enough. It's not. They don't, maybe they do understand. I shouldn't assume that they don't understand the physics of the device they're using, but it's just, I think people are kind of turning a deaf ear to what needs to happen to really get good with these machines. Because when you're good with these machines, extraordinary healing happens. And if you don't train, you don't know. If you don't know, you don't get a result. It's really very simple. It's everything that you guys are doing on your weekly calls. And, I mean, the specialized practice, I think you guys do an amazing job. I mean, full disclosure, I'm a client, and there was a reason I did that. I enjoy what you do and say and how you do it, and it works. So it's about training.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've always said there's, if you're going to, specialize in one of these services and have great success with it, you need to make two investments. The first one is in the equipment. The second one is in yourself, right? I mean, you have to elevate your skill sets. And typically, the person that sold you the unit is not a practitioner. They're not in the trenches every day, and they don't know how to grow these services, consistently and predictably. So you need to find an expert that's already figured it out, and follow a proven model. I mean, you can have, when you go into a new endeavor, you can use guesswork, you can use hard work, or you can use a proven framework. It's the choice is up to you. Dr. Pankin, did you have a question there? I thought that I saw you.
So a lot of our listeners, of course, are, they're looking to get into niches, or maybe they are in niches. Of course, at specialized practice, we do chronic neck and back, chronic knee, peripheral neuropathy, and plantar fasciitis are the ones that we really focus on. Just, I know you talked about great results, but just specifically for those four, three or four conditions there, what are you seeing, and some a little bit about the protocols you use, and if you're using other modalities besides the shockwave to treat some of those things?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say about any of those things when we talk about this is when we look at a shockwave device, a true shockwave device, people need to stop thinking of it as a pain reducer. These machines don't kill pain. They cause healing. And when the body heals, in turn, what do we get? We get a decrease in pain. And it's significant. And it's I mean, it's in 5 minutes, you can cause pain to diminish by 50 to, I mean, 100%. You could, but it's short-lived because it's not, there's a protocol that goes along with it. So when we talk about these machines, you want to be able to talk about them to the patient as it being a healing machine, because patients want healing, right? They don't just want pain reduction, or they wouldn't be doing the things that we're all doing in our practices, which makes us so successful. To the question, anytime we need healing to occur on any of these tissues, it's going to take more time. You guys know better than anyone that healing takes time. So what it does is it takes the healing and cuts that down. It cuts it almost in half. I would say 25 to 30%. I don't want to go as far as saying half, but that's what we see in our practice usually. So the protocols that I'm using for decompression, for neuropathy, for all those, I mean, there's significantly it takes significantly less time. Like I said, we probably about say 25% less to get the same results that we're getting, just because we're getting this advance in healing, and healing, it happens faster. So, I don't use my lasers really much anymore. I know, Doc, you and I are going to roll around about this a little bit, and I think that's fun. And I have two. I was a huge fan. I designed a lipo laser device. I have a U.S. patent on some phototherapy stuff, so I get it. I just, I'm just, this shockwave stuff has kind of taken over in my practice where we had the lasers. Now, the way that you do it, if I am, I know I'm not wrong, when you have the robotic lasers, I love that. I had one of them. I don't have it anymore, but I have had one of those. I think it was great, and I think it adds another level of healing. But I still think that the shockwave tends to be a little bit more advanced when it comes to getting healing to happen more quickly. Now, with that said, I use my lasers for things like TMJ. We don't really use them as much for the low back stuff anymore, but if it's a large, broad, area, I put them under my lipo laser stuff, and I'm getting significant results with inflammation reduction and pain reduction with those as well. So my decompression stuff, we use a shockwave. Sometimes we never do it before. If it's the first couple of visits, we don't use shockwave initially, because it causes the musculature to relax too much. And if you get them into a decompression protocol where we're pulling, right, and we're not taking into account the fact that that's going to change some things back there, I don't want to use that beforehand. We get them on the table first, so we'll get them on the table, warm them up a little bit, get them on the table, and then do shockwave after. But after visit two or three, we're shockwaving before, and it's working incredibly well. Typically, the way you'd use laser, we're using shockwave, right? So, I mean, it's, for neck pain, we're doing the traps, we're paraspinal, we're depending upon what they're seeing and feeling, what muscles are quote unquote working. I don't know if we still use those terms anymore or not, but we used to use those.
Hey there, it's Dr. Vince. And if you're getting value from this episode, please make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you know another doc who's ready to grow their practice, share this with them. It might be exactly what they need right now. Thank you in advance. And now back to the show.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing. The knee stuff protocols are, you're in once or twice a week for a couple of months. All my protocols are typically between 8 and 12 sessions, and we're usually, some significant results. If there's
So,
specifics, Kyle, you want, to ask me the question, I'm happy to answer for you.
no, I think you did a good job of answering that. Dr. Leon, go ahead.
well, I was kind of curious, because it's attended, I know doctors are thinking, well, I don't, that seems like a lot of time for me to be on the unit. So obviously we're using staff to do it, right? To deliver it. What is that, what does the training process look like to get a staff member so that they are up to speed, proficient at using the
Competent.
device, competent so that they can use the device, get results, and it can be a true kind of almost like a, well, it's a lane of service, but it's not reliant on the doctor. Maybe he does, maybe he or she does, right, the consult, the exam, but not, delivering any subsequent care.
Yeah, I mean, typically the way it happens in the office is I'll do the day ones. We actually call them day zero here because it's a like the test drive, discovery day, visit, whatever you guys want to call it. So we'll do that. It takes me about 30 minutes to get the patient to come in, qualify them, and then get them to commit to care between 30 and 40 minutes. Now that's the first day. So we're closing 70, I think it was 73 or 74% of our clients on day one
So
for shock.
and so day zero, day one, so that you're going to do your consult, exam, and then the diagnostic portion, which is like the
Diagnostic and
test drive.
treatment. Yeah,
Okay.
it's diagnostic and treatment. So it's either I labeled it a mapping. It's you're doing a mapping because these devices, other than the OmniWave, which doesn't do such a good job with that, but there are some real positives to that machine where the patient is feeling as much. The patient, these machines uncover areas of inflamed tissue, damaged tissue, and diseased tissue like arthritis, right? So when you're doing that, it's really easy to get the patient, unlike laser, which it was always been my issue with laser. It's like, trust me, right? It's the doctor stuff is always trust me. With these devices, they don't need to trust you. If you teach them what's about to happen, they will say, oh, that's the bad spot. Yeah, that's the bad spot, right? So
So
you get
that's the
instant.
diagnostic or the mapping
That's the
part.
diagnostic portion, and you get instant buy-in from the patient understanding what's happening here. So that takes it and elevates it, or it's different. I shouldn't say elevate it. It's different than laser, right? So because with laser, the problem that we have with laser sometimes is, well, it feels warm, right? And then you get a little bit of pain reduction. Sometimes you get a lot. Most times you don't. So then that's what happens. So when you get the shockwave to be able to work appropriately and know what you're doing, then you get that to happen. You get that happening at day one. But to go back to what you said earlier, as far as time, it's 5 minutes. It's a 5 minutes you spend with shockwave on a patient. If you're using the better, like I said, better, I shouldn't say better, but the higher level devices with true shockwave devices, it's 5 minutes. Anything other than that, you're at 500, 700 pulses. The other devices, it's 2,500, 3,000. As you go down in cost, your time goes up that
Oh,
you spend with the
interesting.
patient. So that's a huge thing. So when we talk about, when you talk about what does it cost and why does it cost so much and what's happening, it's 5 minutes in. Our practice sees every 15 minutes we have somebody booked in shockwave.
Okay.
So, it's for an hour or more. And they're in and they're out and they're doing other things. So when we talk about, how much time does it take? The other machines, it took me 18 minutes to do two knees. The machines that I like and I use takes me five.
Wow.
So there's significant differences in time,
With
right?
your,
And efficacy, I might add.
yeah. So with your best clients, are the doctors typically doing the treatment, or is the staff member doing the treatment?
Staff's doing the treatment. I
So
put
just.
together a whole program and training program. There's an online and then the shadow in my office. That's part of what Acuity Consulting does.
Yeah.
I want to give you guys and everybody that's out there, I want to give you just a ninja in that room.
Yeah.
Shannon's my tech. Shannon, I put her up against the best doctors in the country. She's spectacular. She didn't have any medical background she was a patient, to be honest.
Oh,
And we
okay.
just worked together. And now we have, a large number of people that have gone through the training program. And now When you consider your average case to be between $1,500 and $5,000 for Shockwave, if you're doing 20 to 50,000 a month in Shockwave correctly and appropriately, you can afford to put someone in that room for that kind of money.
Oh yeah.
So,
So back to that question then. What does that process look like to get a staff member trained up? Is it, do they,
through
is it
me and through Acuity.
correct?
Through Acuity. Well, what's going to happen is that they'd call. We'd have a conversation with the doctor as to what they're trying to do and why, and what and who, and then they would say, "I want to get him or her trained, and I'm going to accept them or not accept them." And you'd be surprised how many times doctors are calling me and saying, "This is my person." And I ask them questions, and I'm like, "That's not your person. Not that anyone can't do it. It's just important that we pick the right person." And everybody who's been in practice ever understands, picking the right people. So once we find the right person, there's a couple of week online course that they're going to take, and then they're going to shadow us in Pittsburgh for two or 3 days,
Oh,
and they're going
really?
to work, yeah, with me and Shannon
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
the other docs. Yeah, so that's what happens there.
Got it. Got it. So what's the potential, you think? Not like, the best clients, not the worst clients, but like what's an average amount of revenue, without a ton of paid marketing? So I'm assuming, Jay Abraham, he's like one of the biggest marketers of all time, always said, hey, one of the easiest ways to add revenue to a business or practice is to just add another service and offer it to your existing clientele, which if most doctors are just doing chiropractic or maybe they do decompression as well, they could very easily open up a lane of service for, joint pain, right? So obviously through Shockwave. So what do you think? What could they
I think
use?
last
What
week I
could they
spent days in an
generate?
op.
What could they generate in additional revenue with one device?
I'll say this, with one device doing it the way that we do it, and I hate th I don't hate throwing numbers around. I love throwing numbers around because we do really well with this. But last week I was on the West Coast, closer to you, and this doctor has a they're seeing, I think they said 150 a week. It's nice practice, it's not killing themselves, but not lazy either, right? They're doing pretty good. We did $46,750 in 2 days.
In 2 days.
Two days.
Whoa. So what did
I want
that
to
look
picture
like?
your
Tell me.
face right now,
Okay.
Vince.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm excited. So
Yeah, I know everybody should be. And this is, I have been banging the drum on this for the last 3 or 4 years, right? And this before it, but it's the reason I put Acuity together is because it's not because I need a side hustle. Let's put it that way. It's because the people that have these machines aren't doing what they could be doing because they're not treating it as significant lanes of service. What they're doing, again, is saying, okay, I'm going to train you for 5, 10 minutes how to turn the machine on, squirt the gel on, move it around, and do right. That's what we're doing. And that's a met
Wait,
that.
that doesn't qualify as an expert?
Not for me.
I want to go deeper into this case study with this
Sure.
client. Okay, so
This is not
she,
the first time we've done this.
fair enough.
Let's
So
put it that way.
she has a nice practice or kind of whatever healthy practice. She buys a device. She flies you out there. Tell us what did the process look like?
Well, we have a before that even happens, right? We're going to do some consulting as to what we're as to the smart ones will call me and say, what should I buy? What's going on? How do I know? And then we figure that out. Because based upon what the doctor wants, I can say, okay, this sounds like it's a better fit for you and this machine and this device, and this is why, right? So each machine has a little bit of a learning curve to it as to how we're going to do what we're going to do. So with that said, and then we go about 4 weeks out, 3 or 4 weeks. You don't want to go longer than that, but 3 or 4 weeks out, we're going to grab the entire patient list, and we're going to do some email, we're going to do some text, we're going to, and it's all written out for us and to garner some excitement, get this wave swelling, right, and get this thing happening, and then we're going to book people every 15 minutes. I'm sorry, every 30 minutes to come in, and while they watch me treat close, give efficacy ratings, tell people it's not for them. Like we had a couple of people that were in that I said, I don't think this is right for you based upon what your their expectations are based upon their how they present, or they can't define their pain, they're not sure. I don't think this is right for you, right? So it's just like any other patient that comes in that you're not sure how we can treat them. If it's not right for them, we're not going to offer the service to them. So, but with that said, if you don't get the result on day one, you don't have a patient. So here's what everybody does. Here's what they, this is incredibly important. Listen up. Everybody goes, buys the machine, says, or buys a machine or the whatever machine and says, I'm gonna try and do this for 2 months and see how I do. And if I don't do so well, then I'm gonna reach out to you. Well, let me explain something to you. All the love you, know you, love you, trust you patients that when you say, hey, John, go get in room one, I want to show you the shockwave thing, they just turn and they start walking, right? That's those patients. They're all quote unquote warm leads. They're patients. They're your beloved and cared for patients, but they know you have their best interests in mind. But if you go and you screw up 10% of these people that walk in, your confidence is gone. So, like, I always talk about two things. I talk about confidence and intent. If your intent is not correct, if you're not, the patient picks up on it, number one. If you're trying to put a lane of service that's worth a bunch of cash in your office and their intent is just for the money, you're not going to do very well. The patient picks up on it and your practice stinks. And it just is what it is. So with that, you have to give them the confidence to do well with the machine. They have zero confidence because they don't know what to expect. And here's how it works. I'm going to charge five, whatever. I'm going to charge $800 for 10 sessions. Okay. Then they get more confident. And all of a sudden it's 1200. Then they're more confident. And it's 1400. And then they get more confident. It's 1750. And they go, not the way to do this. The way to do this is not screw up with all these patients. Because let's, in my office, I charge $2100 for one joint for 10, 8 to 12 sessions. It's a protocol, right? So a knee is 30, I charge $3,750. Could I charge $5,000? I could. Could I get it? I could. I think it's fair in my area, at my, in my neighborhood, the people that I treat, I think it's fair to be around $3,750, about $4,000. So let's back that up. If you missed three of those, you blew $12,000 because you didn't want to get trained, because you didn't want to have someone in the room, because you felt that you could do it because all the doctors are experts at everything. Listen, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So,
So, okay, I totally agree. Well, just walk me through a little bit how it works. So you go out, so you actually are on site, and then and you obviously do the all the internal marketing, generate buzz, sign up appointments. Is it on a workday, regular workday? And is the doctor, the client, shadowing you then? And the tech.
absolutely.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Cool. And so in 2 days, I mean, how many patients was that?
36.
36. Dang. What was your close rate?
82%.
Really? That's impressive, my friend. And what was the client? I mean, what was she saying? Was she just thrilled or
What do you
beside
think she was
herself?
saying?
Or is she like,
She paid for
get
most
out
of
of
the
here, you
machine.
suck.
Well, let's put it this way. She's a yearly consultant client. There's no there. She's where do I sign, right?
That's amazing. That's amazing. Congratulations on that.
And anybody can do it. I mean, yes, I'm pretty good at it. I'll give you that. And I get calls all day, every day from other doctors that I'm working with, and some that want to have questions, just like you do, and Dr. Kyle does. But this isn't as hard as people are making it. It's really not. I know it's easy when you know what you're doing, right? That's the old saying. But it's if you can, when we talked about like when you can get the efficacy ratings down, if you can be honest with your patient, if you can get the right machine and understand the physics, the physical, how it works inside the joint into the musculature of the patient, this is what needs to be taught because we're just guessing, right? That's what 95% of the docs out there are doing. They're guessing. And when the patient says, oh, I feel better, they go, really? Right. I love that one. I mean, literally, I'm in the room doing the treatments with these patients, and the doctor, I'll say, "How do you feel?" And they say, "You know, I expect a 50% increased range of motion, 50% decreased pain every time I do a mapping, every time. And if I don't get it, it's a technique issue, or there's something going on with the machine. There's something. I don't always hit the mark, but you know, apparently 82% of the time I do. So, you know, that's and the funniest part, yeah, right? The funniest part of this is I'll, you know, they'll say they came in, they'd lift their arm like this, that's all I can do, and I treat them and they go like this, and the patient goes, "Wow." And I said, "Well, how are you feeling?" I'm like, "You know, it's about 60% better, maybe 50." I'm like, "That's where I want to be, that's good." And the doctor says, "Really?" But right, they're like, it's mind-blowing how this works. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it. It doesn't take a lot of money to be able to learn this. It just takes time and, you know, intention. And that's what we're teaching all over the country now.
Yeah, and the beauty of that is, you know, you build the skill set and it's going to serve you the rest of your career.
Absolutely.
Dr. Kyle, you had a question.
A doctor that's listening to this and saying, "Well, I just want to start on the lower end and start with a less expensive machine." Basically, from what I'm hearing you saying is basically bite the bullet, buy the higher end technology, the higher end machine, because your reward, even though you're paying more up front, with the results that you're going to see and the potential revenue upside with that, it's well worth the investment. Versus just the doctor says, "Well, I'll buy a cheaper unit and just kind of get started and build my way up with that, and maybe down the road get a more higher end unit." How would you kind of address that?
I would say that it's the best analogy here. If you, no matter what you're selling, I don't care if it's cars or tomatoes or like whatever. And Vince is going, "Where is he going with this?" I could see, I could see
I
it in your
am.
face.
I'm very curious about
Where,
the tomatoes.
right? So you say you're selling, I don't know. I hate to use the analogy of a used car guy, but if you're selling cars and you sell shitty cars and you get shitty results with these cars, you do not have a high-end service. So
This
when
is
you
a
go get new
family-friendly
high-end
show, Dr.
machines,
Tony, by the way.
what'd you say?
This is a family-friendly show.
Oh, sorry. How many Doogie Howsers do we have as doctors now? I'm sorry, I
Now I'm gonna have to
apologize.
bleep you out. Jeez.
I'm gonna let her rip if we're gonna do the bleeping thing. Now, so my point is, if you build it, if you're gonna build this lane of service and you're gonna have a poorly, you know, you don't know what you're doing, you get it's all about results, period. If I had to choose one word, it's results. If you don't get the results, those patients talk, you take the ads that like you just don't, if you don't get off to a flying start with this, you're kneecapping yourself. That's exactly what's happening. You're just not gonna, you know, I got this machine. Okay, well, it isn't really, and the doctor won't use it anymore, so it goes away. So the next time you're gonna go, "Hey, I got a new machine this time. I bought the right one." Like, what are we doing? I don't, you know, if you could pay for, ideally, I want my clients to pay for their machines within 3 months. That's what I want. And that's what usually happens.
Yeah, 6 months at the outside, right?
Six
What
months. 6 months is a no-brainer. Yeah.
other question I had as you were talking to you, I know you originally you had that interest in injectables and stem cell, but you eventually went to shockwave. Do you think in some instances, I mean, you know, stem cells is kind of the shiny object in the sense that's been out there a lot and people see so much promise in that, but do you think the technology behind Shockwave in many ways can circumvent or take the place of the need or the drive towards stem cell injections and things of that nature, or
I think,
PRP or things like that?
I think so. I think so. I mean, the problem that we have with some people is, you know, the when you're using shockwave, it's creating an endogenous stem cell reaction is what they talk about. So you have endogenous stem cell activity that happens within the joint is, or whatever we're using it. So, I mean, with that said, the problem that we have sometimes is someone comes in that what happens? So what happens if you have someone that can't heal? You got someone with an A1C that's a 9, 9, 5, 10, right? They heal poorly. So you have to not pick and choose, but you have to, when you're giving an efficacy rating, you have to think about how well they're able to heal. Because if they're not able to heal well, your results will be not as great. Now, that doesn't mean that with stem cell, you would get a better result, because you probably wouldn't. Because you still, when you inject stem cell, it's still a fact, there's still stem cell factors that occur when you're trying to get that joint to heal or those tissues to heal. So that's one thing that people don't take into account when they talk about things. And I don't think most people give efficacy ratings anyways. I think that's a huge problem, because there's no covenant between the patient and the doctor at that point. Because the doctors, again, don't know, they mostly don't know what they're doing. So I think stem cell is, I love the tech. I'm a tech guy. I love what's going on there, but it's prohibitively expensive for a lot of people. It is
Well, you have to
expensive for the
restructure.
doctors, I might add.
Yeah, you got to
You
restructure
have
your whole practice.
you yeah, and you need, depending upon the state you're in, you may not be allowed to do it anyways. So, you need a medical doctor for our chiropractic friends on the call. You need a nurse practitioner if the medical doctor doesn't want to do it. And then you need, you're right away, you're chasing this thing. And I always said, my friends who are honest about stem cell are saying it's 70 to 80% of the time it works. But for $10,000 to $15,000, I don't want to have a conversation that I have to start with, "Thank you for your donation. I'm sorry it didn't work." That, and it stem cell just seems like magic too, right? A little bit of it. So, and I don't want to have that conversation. I don't. And that's why I said at the beginning of this call was that, I never had a patient come in and go, "I don't feel any better." And we had no measurable response or reaction. So that's pretty cool. That's super cool.
Here's what I really like what you said, Dr. Tony, is the confidence being such a factor for the doctor, because that's something that we work on with our clients, is creating confidence in the protocols, in decompression, in how we present plans to patients, because it's a subconscious communication from you to the patient. In other words, they sense, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, whether you know what the heck you're doing, right? And in the beginning,
100%.
they gotta borrow your belief in the treatment protocol. And so if that's not conveyed confidently, they typically won't buy. A lot of doctors want some silver bullet for the ROF. It doesn't exist. Now, there is a way to structure your ROF so that you create a patient who understands exactly what you're doing and how it's going to work. But there's no substitute for confidence in being able to deliver a result.
Absolutely. And that's why, and it all goes back to the training, right? Everything goes back to the training. When we work with, when anybody works with specialized practice and you guys, it's like, listen, you got to go over this stuff. You got to know it. You got to know what your patient's thinking. You have to be, and it's not about the sale. Everybody wants to talk about it. How do I sell them? How do I do this? How do I do that? It has nothing to do with that. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's ways of presenting, which makes it more likely that someone will be able to commit to care. I always say, listen, I don't make the decisions. I propose and you guys decide. And if my proposal isn't appropriate for what they want, need, and I can expect, then now we have a problem. There's a disconnect there. And too few doctors ask the right questions. They just wait till the patient has something to say and make a decision based upon a lack of information. I say it all the time. The confused mind says no. If your patient looks at you like this, they're not ready. You do not propose the care plan at that point. What you do is keep asking them questions. Do you have any questions? And they'll say no. And then you fill in the gaps, as to what they didn't ask, because you know what questions they have. You've worked with thousands of patients in our careers. And even for the new guys, it's
By the
like,
way, for those listening versus watching the video, Dr. Tony kind of tilted his head and squinted his eyes. It's like, what do you mean? Well,
right.
look, that I love that. It's all great information. Dr. Kyle, do you have any last questions or thoughts?
No, I think it was very comprehensive what we went over in the sense. I think this gives the listener, if they're thinking about adding Shockwave, or they already have it but want to take it to that next level, here we have an expert that's going to deliver the training that's going to help you take it to the next level. So I think we should let the guy just tell us a little bit more about Acuity and how people can get a hold of that if they want to look up more. And also mention that Dr. DeCesaro is going to be at the Decompression Summit certification coming up here at the end of September. So just tell us a little bit more about that, Dr. T.
Sure. Super excited to be at the summit. I was there last year as well, and I was there as a practitioner and listening to you guys do your thing, and incredibly impressed. I recommend anyone who's doing any of these niches to come out and spend the weekend with us. It's a beautiful place, and I think you should go, number one. Number two, it's a consultwithacuity.com is the website. Consultwithacuity.com is the website, like I said. And to get a hold of me for right now, I give people my phone number. And they want to talk to me, talk to me. It's 412-759-0753. 412-759-0753. That is my personal cell number. I'm not ducking anybody. If you want to talk to me, give me a ring, send me a text. And
I'm
I'm
gonna
happy to talk to
turn
you.
that phone number into some of these marketing guys that call me all the
And I'm going
time.
to boomerang it right back to you, Vince, because I got
Oh,
your personal cell.
you start a war.
Here we go.
Okay, so we'll put that in the show notes. Consultwithacuity.com. I don't remember your phone number, but we'll put all that in the show notes so people can reach out to you. But I appreciate your time today and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom on this topic. Any last thoughts on your side, Dr. T?
I just like to help our guys and girls get all the docs on the same page with this. I think we're doing our patients a disservice when we have the machine and aren't using it appropriately. I think we have a moral imperative to help our patients, and to and we're in the business of healthcare. And if that means we should take every opportunity to help the patient and to enrich ourselves and our families and our practices and the people in our communities. So if you're not doing that, I question why you're doing what you're doing. So if I can help in any way with training, consultation, words of encouragement, I don't know, however we can help, we're helping a lot and willing to help some more. So give us a call when you can.
Love it. Well, again, thank you for joining us on the show, Dr. Kyle. Thank you for your time today. And so that's going to wrap it up this episode of the Practice Builders Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next show. Hey, it's Dr. Vince again, and hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you're ready to grow your practice fast with high-value decompression patients, then the Decompression Accelerator could be a phenomenal option for you. This is our 90-day sprint to help you scale with proven systems, staff-driven protocols, and full marketing support, and it's all guaranteed. Spots are limited. Head to www.decompressionaccelerator.com to learn more.